always of Amen.
Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 267, stanzas 1 through 4. Jehovah reigns supreme. Let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim. Let earth before him bow. 1 through 4 of Psalter 267. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 18th chapter, the first 27 verses. John 18, verses 1 through 27. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. and thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? And then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first. For he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. When he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did I not see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. John Gulliker, who is home from the hospital after a surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, Thou who art so holy, Thou who art sitting in Thy majesty upon Thy throne with all the hosts of heaven, the elders surrounding Thee to magnify and to glorify Thy holy, Thy worthy name. And Thou knowest what lies in our hearts. And we are gathered around Thy word and Thy everlasting testimony in this morning hour. And Lord, then it is so far away from that place of Thy servants about Thy throne. Because we are of the earth, earthy. And oh, even when Thou hast placed something of Thy Spirit amongst us, than it is so often, that it is as it were under the ashes, that there is so little flame, that there is so little light, that it is not as a city upon an hill. Lord, Thou knowest that we are cleavers to the dust, and what is of the world that is living in our hearts. Oh, wilt Thou forgive and take away all our iniquities, for the seeds of every one of the sins in this world that is lying in our hearts, and against each and every one of Thy good and righteous commandments. Thou knowest our hearts and all that dwelleth therein. They are whited sepulchres. Oh, so clean perhaps on the outside, full of religion and full of profession, and on the inside full of dead men's bones. Lord, forgive, forgive. Wash us and cleanse us, and take away all that is wretched and filthy and polluted, wherein we make ourselves so guilty in Thy sight. Thou who art righteous and holy, and who canst not look upon one sin, oh, it is a wonder that we are not cast away out of Thy sight, and that we are forever done away with, who have been brought up under Thy holy word, under Thy callings, day by day and week by week, and so deserving above all the heathen and all that never knew the way, that we should be cast out first. O Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou may look on us in mercy, and that Thou would not deal with us as our many sins deserve. As we can read in Thy word, having known the way and not to have walked therein, and that we make ourselves worthy of double stripes. Lord, Thou hast sent Thine only begotten Son into this world. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And Thou didst go then unto the Gentiles. And Lord, that is what we deserve as a people that have known Thy truth, not walked therein. And we deserve that Thou wouldst take the light of Thy candlestick away from us, and that Thou would take it and shine amongst those who have never heard it, that their hearts may be softened, and that they may be brought to a true repentance. O Lord, when Thou wouldst deal with us according to our sins, then who can stand? But Lord, we read there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. Oh, may Thou look upon Thy dear Son, and may Thou consider Thy own honor and Thy own glory, and may Thou take reasons out of Thyself to look upon us and upon our dear children this day, to be among us, to come and to speak a word of conviction, a word of conversion, and to send the word as an arrow out of Thine heavenly quiver to this one or to that one, that we may be pricked in our hearts. May it be for the first time in our life to see that we have sinned against our Maker and our Creator, and that we have said to Thee, we have no desire for the knowledge of Thy ways. Oh, give us love for Thee, Lord. Give us a sorrow in our heart that we might weep because of what we are and because of what we have done against Thee, that it may become our true grief and our true sorrow. Oh, we can't make it ourselves. We can speak it with our mouth, but we have nothing but a hypocritical heart. Lord, we need to be born again. And oh, we need to be converted. We need to be changed. We need life in our dead souls. And to whom else can we go, Lord, but unto Thee? Thou who hast the words of eternal life. Oh, Lord, wilt Thou come to us and to our children this day, this Thy holy day. Thou hast still given that Thy word may go forth amongst us. Thou hast still given that in the end of time, that Thy word may still be preached, may still be read. And Lord, may it be for a reason, may it be for a purpose amongst us as a congregation, that Thou would use it, that Thou would bless it, that Thou would increase Thy number here below, that there may be yet some among us who must become part of that blessed 144,000, and that will glorify and magnify Thee to all eternity. Oh, that Thou would remember also those who cannot see a way to return to Thee. Lord, it can be so closed, it can be so dark in the life of those in whom sin has been made a burden and a grief. Oh, that Thou would remember such ones in this morning hour, that Thou would come and that Thou would open for Thy own afflicted and poor people something of that blessedness, of that free and sovereign grace, wherewith Thou wilt save Thy church. Oh, do open Thy dear Son and all His work that He has accomplished upon a tree that was accursed of God, that He might take away the curse that belongeth unto those that have sinned against Thee and that cannot return unto Thee because of their own fault. Lord, remember those that have no name for themselves, that cannot go along with the world anymore, and that cannot place themselves among Thy people. Oh, could Thou please remember them this day, and wilt Thou break through for them, for whom it is such an impossible matter. Lord, glorify Thy own name in the heart of sinners. And wilt Thou open that blessed fountain that is open to the house of David for sin and for uncleanness, and that there may be those that may drink therefrom, that they may rejoice in Thy salvation. Lord, wilt Thou open it? Wilt Thou come? Forgive and take away what is sinful. Instruct Thy people. Oh, when they go in a way of backsliding, when they serve idols again, Lord, wilt Thou give them to return? Oh, bring them again. Give them to remember the first love. And wilt Thou cause them to cry out for by renewal out of a deep need, and that Thou would instruct them further in the ways of grace, that self-knowledge may increase, and that the knowledge of Thy dear Son may also increase, and that Thy glory may increase, and that wretched and miserable and hell-worthy sinners may experience the salvation of the Lord. Remember all the afflicted and the sick ones. Be with her that has been brought home from the hospital. Lord, thou hast made everything for the body so well for her. Amidst the many, many fears, thou knowest all of them. Oh, she cannot acknowledge thee aright. But Lord, may thou give it in truth. And oh, give that she may be brought to cry out also, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Strengthen her for the body. Be with her husband and children. Sanctify all callings in the midst of the congregation. Wilt thou be with widows, widowers, and orphans in all the needs and sorrow and loneliness? Wilt thou be on their right and on their left hand? And may thou show thyself to be a God nearby. Do remember us this day. When we, as a congregation, are come around thy word, Lord, come then in the midst of us. Thou hast promised us that thou wouldst be as our mouth. Oh, give us then a word to speak that may be a word from thy mouth. Show thyself, Lord. Take away our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 95, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Fret not thyself, nor envious be, when wicked workers thou shalt see, who prosper in their way. For like the grass they perish soon, and like the herb cut down at noon, they wither in a day. Psalter 95, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. It was the cutting off of the self-defense of an afflicted child of the Lord. And it was an unjust sentence. Do not speak anymore. And now divide the land. For Mephibosheth, that was not such a great matter. Because for Mephibosheth, that land meant so very little. Is that also for us? There was something that meant so much more to him. Oh, then he could say, King, let Ziba have it all. For as much as the king is come again in peace unto his own house. That was the love in the heart of this Mephibosheth for David. And nothing else mattered but for the king congregation. It remained a sin. Oh, how much did that king, David, not need to be forgiven? And how much do not we who are in a place of authority as consistory, as school board, as teachers, as parents in our homes, not need to be forgiven? Impatience to listen to the cause of those who are afflicted, and so often wrong judgment. Is there also blood for this? We wish to see that with the Lord's help in this morning hour from the words of our text, which you can find in the portion that was read to you, John 18, verses 19 through 23. John 18, verses 19 through 23. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? So far the words of our text. Christ suffering at his trial before the Sanhedrin. First, an upright answer to an unjust question. And second, a meek reply to an unjust rebuke. Christ suffering at his trial before the Sanhedrin. First, an upright answer to an unjust question, and second, a meek reply to an unjust rebuke. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Where is the Lord Jesus? He is in court. that is not a secular court, but it is within the church that no longer exists. Because we are no theocracy anymore. But Israel had to set up among themselves by the commandment of the Lord judges. And the most difficult cases had to be brought, we can read, before the priesthood, that there they may be judged. And at this time, of course, the time of the Lord Jesus, the children of Israel, the Jewish people, are no longer a free people. But they are subject to the Romans, and they are also subject to the Roman court. And therefore, they may not put a man to death. They may not give a sentence of condemnation against a person which would be effective. And yet, they bring Christ first to the church court, as it were, where they were still permitted to decide some matters. It was brought first before Annas and then before Caiaphas, of whom we read that he was the high priest that same year. Annas was the high priest first, then his five sons, and now it is his son-in-law, Caiaphas, who is high priest. That shows to us something of the degeneracy of the priesthood among the Jews. And that high priesthood that has become something of an annual, a yearly office, which they have handed down from one to another, but from the original institution of the Lord, then it was not so. Court, what is that? Do you know what that is, boys and girls? A court, that is a place where wrongdoings are brought. That is a place where people are examined, where there is a judge and a sentence given against those who are guilty. And then also those who are innocent, they are let go free. That is really one work. But it consists of those two parts, the condemnation of the guilty and the justification of those who are innocent. And these two things, the condemning of the guilty and the justification of the innocent, they are things which are intimately connected one with the other. Thus, a court, a place where the guilty ones are arraigned, where they are accused, where they are judged, where they are sentenced for a punishment. And at the same time, place, a place where the innocent party may receive an acquittal from false accusations that may be brought against him. Thus, the court that is a place of comfort, that is a place of protection for those who are innocent. But it is only so when there is a due process of law. That is, when everything is done in a proper, in a lawful, moral manner. What is more loathsome, congregation, than when we stand in a court where we may expect righteousness to dwell, where we may expect justice to be done? Than what is more loathsome to a man than when we stand in a court and there is within that court corruption? Then it is coming against even the most evil of men, because in our hearts even after the fall, then there is some sense of justice, some sense of moral right and wrong. But even more, what must it be to be the object of such a corrupt court? When we are standing there and when we have absolutely no power against a corrupt authority, it is no light matter. Maybe you know what that is. It is no light matter to be judged, to be accused of something that we have not done. Nor is it a light matter when as an authority we would carry out a judgment against a person for a wrong which they have never committed. And then we can understand something of a that there may be a corruption coming into a worldly court. We can understand that. It is not right, no. But we can understand it. Why? Because it is a place where we know that Satan has his dominion in the world. Because Satan is the prince of this world. Then we can understand that also in the place that there ought to be justice. That Satan also is doing his evil and his corrupt work. But now this is within the church. And if it is within the very church itself that there is corruption, then where shall we go for justice? Then there is only one hope and one comfort for such people, and that is that there is a higher judge. And that the Lord, He knows everything. How is it in a court? What are the proceedings in a court? Where do we begin? Well, then that judge must first pick an unbiased jury. Then when he is making his selection, he is very careful. He may have nothing to do, may not have any relation, may not know those who are accused or those who are bringing in these accusations. And when that jury is set, well, then those are brought in who are witnesses. Then there is someone who is bringing an accusation against this person. And so there is on the other side a defense. And when it is heard, then there is a deliberation. There is a cross-examination. And there is a certain verdict that is given. And finally, there is a sentence that is coming forth out of the mouth of this judge. But how is a congregation in this court that we read of here? Well, we hear of a great, great corruption. What is that? Well, this judge, he is in himself, in the first place, biased. That is a man who is a stated, avowed enemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have read it together. Now, Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Thus, that sentence of Caiaphas that is already made before that this man is even brought before him within that court. Thus, a great corruption. But what is now the only difficulty? That when the Lord Jesus is brought into this court, there is no one there who is brought in who has an accusation against the Lord Jesus. There is no one present in this court for this judge to ask, what do you have against him? No one to speak. And so what does that judge do? the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine? Well, then he is going to begin to question the Lord Jesus himself. He is going to see if he can get the Lord Jesus to say something. He will make the Lord Jesus to be his own accuser within this court. It is pure wickedness. It is pure corruption. No man is expected in this world to testify in court against himself. And then in a very subtle manner, then we read in this question how that Caiaphas is actually in accusing the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because he asked the Lord Jesus in the first place of his disciples. What does he want to know? Well, he wants to know what is their number, what is their power. Well, just as if the Lord Jesus, he is guilty of some kind of sedition, some kind of a secret resistance against the government, who has members of his band, who is secretly meeting with these members and attempting to gain more and more members that eventually they be able to overthrow the government. Indeed, the disciples of the Lord Jesus is the great concern of these rulers among the Jews. And why was that such a great concern? Well, because the people are beginning to lose respect for the Pharisees and the scribes. Why? Because the Lord Jesus is opening all of the hypocrisy and all of the evil doings of the rulers of this people. Thus, it is a great concern that they have indeed, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. See how ye prevail nothing. The world is gone after him. Thus he is asking in the first place about his disciples. But then he is using doctrine as a cover for his wickedness. Congregation, how often is that not so? How often do we not desire one thing or another? And is that desire not so often greater than all of the moral principles that we may even have within us? Greater, of greater force, that desire, than all our conscience. How much are we willing to sacrifice to attain our goals? And why? Because sin that has never become sin. What a piety is often covering all of our evils. And what devices man is able to bring into his thoughts in order to try to put a religious cover upon all the wretchedness of his heart. The hatred, the envy, the revenge that lies within his heart, and then often coming forth in the midst of people under the name of justice, under the name of truth, under the name of God himself. And the rulers of the Jews are all so guilty of this. They know what they want. They have sought occasion to put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. And what do they do? Well, they find all kinds of things because they have no good ground, because they have no good foundation, and therefore they are looking for something. He is a Sabbath breaker. He is a friend of publicans and sinners. He eats with unwashing hands. Caiaphas asked the Lord Jesus of his doctrine. just as if the Lord Jesus has secretly met with his disciples and is teaching them a doctrine which is against that law of Moses. Either of these two things would have been sufficient for these rulers. When they could have accused him of sedition, rebellion against the government, or when they could have accused him of teaching what was contrary to the law of Moses, then they would have gained their goal, they would have gained their aim. Oh, that corruption of that trial, that could not but have been a great grief to the Lord Jesus Christ. He must witness the great degeneracy of the priesthood, and he must subject himself to this degeneracy. He himself, congregation, will be the judge in the end of this world. He has said himself that the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son, and it will be given into his hand. What kind of a judgment will that be? That will be a righteous judgment. Every man is going to receive according to the deeds which he hath done in his body. And that high priest is a type of whom? That was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he was standing there before that high priest, then he saw before him who was to be a picture of himself. And it was, congregation, such a corrupt picture. Complete injustice as a picture of that righteous and of that just judge. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. What is it? It is an upright answer to an unjust question. Then that high priest ought to have brought in before this court the accusers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There should have been witnesses, and there ought to have been a fair trial. If the Lord Jesus had planned a coup, that he is going to overthrow the government, then he would have trained his servants in secret. But he says, I have done everything openly before the multitude. And not only so, but all the multitude knows very well what my doctrine is. Because in secret I have said nothing. In other words, that same doctrine which he may instruct his disciples in private was that same doctrine that he has said before that whole multitude. What is it? It is an answer of a free and unfettered conscience. The Lord Jesus in that court did need to hide nothing before God and before men. Is that so of us also? Can we give such an answer, an honest answer, an upright answer, young people, when we are questioned, that we can say, it is open, I have not done it secretly? But what does he receive for that answer? We see that in our second thought, a meek reply to an unjust rebuke. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? That is one of the inferior officers who attended this court. How often do not corrupt masters have corrupt servants? He struck him, we read, with the palm of his hand. Actually, in the original, it could mean either the palm of the hand or with a rod. Thus, he receives a blow for his upright answer. Why? Because supposedly he has spoken in a disrespectful manner to the high priest. Well, there are some congregation that are so taken with the greatness of men in this world that they are not able to bear that they are rebuked even when they are continuing in so much wickedness. As long as they have a place of authority in the world, and then we bow before them and we follow them as a blind guide, even though they guide us unto hell. The Lord Jesus here is accused once again falsely of what? Of disrespect to one of God's servants. A false accusation. Oh, and for whom must he suffer that? He must suffer it for the sake of those in whom that sin is sometimes a reality. That is, when sometimes, when God's true servants, when they by their own weakness do bring thoughts in the minds of God's people that bring disrespectful thoughts, or also that sin for his church that is laid here upon the Lord Jesus Christ in this false accusation. Why? That he may take that sin away from his own people. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me?" We read together, boys and girls, about the Lord Jesus when he was in the garden. And there was the enemy. And they have come to take the Lord Jesus. And they have asked him. He has asked them, "Whom seek ye?" They say, "Jesus of Nazareth." He says, "I am he." And what happened? They fell backward to the ground. Do you know what the Lord showed them? The Lord showed them that if he desired, then he did not have to give himself into their hand. That he had more power than all that enemy. And this man who struck the Lord Jesus was most likely there with the Lord Jesus in that garden and had been laying because of the word of Christ, had been laying backward upon the ground, having experienced something in his own life of the power, of the righteousness, of the justice of that Most High God and of his Son. And now that man, that same man, only a few hours later, and he dares to stretch forth his hand and to strike the Lord Jesus. Congregation, how hard is the heart of a man when the Lord is leaving him over to himself. You read it of Pharaoh, that he also experienced the judgments of the Lord, and his heart was hardened. How is that with us? Do we dare to go on when we experience something in our life of his judgments? Can we just continue in our life, even as this man in his rebellion, in his hatred, and in his wickedness? And now the Lord Jesus, when he is struck by this man, he had power. He had power. Oh, what do you think you would do, young people? What do you think you would do? And you are ready to strike again, maybe. Revenge. The Lord Jesus had power, but there was no revenge that lay in the heart of the Lord Jesus. No, he did not come to destroy men's lives, but he said he came to save men's lives. What does the Lord Jesus do upon this unjust rebuke? He gives a meek reply. If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Once again, for a second time, the Lord Jesus gives a reproof for the proceedings of this court. If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. The Lord Jesus says, we are standing here in court. We are standing here under the legal proceedings. Here is a place. If I have spoken evil, that you may bring an accusation against me before my judge. Say then what I have done wrong. Testify to that judge what the facts are. And let that judge mete out a right and proper punishment. If I have spoken evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? You have no right to smite a just man. And no right to smite a man before that he has been accused and before that he has the verdict is pronounced against him and the sentence has come forth. It is wickedness. It is a perversion of justice. Thus the Lord Jesus, he is condemning the proceedings of that whole court. He says, your sentence that is ready already before your trial, your cross-examination that is before a single witness is brought in. And now you have a punishment for me. And that punishment is even before a verdict. Your whole trial in this court that is completely corrupt, and that not within a worldly court, but it is within the church of God. You are supposed to be the children of Abraham. The Lord Jesus objects to the illegal proceedings of this court. Later, he will be unjustly condemned before Pilate. And what will he say? Through all that injustice, he will say nothing. He will not come against it. He will go as a lamb to the slaughter. He will go willingly to his own death for the sake of his own church. But here he speaks. Why? It is not that he may be freed. No, but he does that for the sake of his own people. He does this for the sake of the Jews. He does this for the sake of the chosen of God. But you say the Lord Jesus, did he not say once that when you are smitten on the right cheek, that you also ought to give the left cheek to your enemy? That is not congregation speaking of the judicial proceedings of the court, but it speaks about private matters. It is not that we may not complain to the judges, but it is that we may not take private revenge. What did the Lord Jesus speak of in Matthew 18? Then he also spoke about a cause rightly coming in its proper time before the authorities that they may make a judgment. And when then they have a right to a fair, proper proceeding of that court without distortion, without bribes, without other wickedness. And when the case of that people is right with the law, then they do not have to give their rights over to the wicked. That would be to give a legal victory to the wicked, to destroy the very purpose and the end of that law of God. Oh, what a great, great responsibility that we have as a Christian church in a place of authority, as a Christian school, teachers in places of authority, in a Christian home, as parents in places of authority. Not to just do away with a complaint, no. But to judge a righteous judgment. And yet, this way of injustice has been sanctified by Christ for his church in this world, even as he has sanctified unto them the very grave. It was the way of the children of Israel. When they have no straw, and they must bring in the same tale of bricks. Oh, it was the way of a Naboth. When he is unjustly condemned, it was the way of all the martyrs. If the true church is in the world, they will be hated by the world because they are not greater than their master. And when all truth and all justice is overturned, then they have but one hope. There is a greater judge. Let us sing first. Psalter 92, 2, 4, and 6. Ashamed, confounded, let them be who seek my ruin and disgrace. Oh, let thy angel fight for me and drive my foes before his face. Without a cause, my life they sought. Without a cause, their plots they laid. Themselves within their snares be caught, and be my crafty foes dismayed. 2, 4, and 6 of Psalter number 92. congregation, in the true regeneration, a man is brought to feel and to realize that he has to stand before his judge. And he feels and he knows in his heart that that judgment of God shall be just. And that not one sin is going to go unpunished. The instructors of our catechism, they have asked that question, is God then not also merciful? And what is the answer? He is indeed merciful, but he is also just. And that is now the impression that is lying in that heart of that newborn soul. And it is because of this impression that the Lord is bringing back all the sin, the past sin of the life of that people. Did the Lord ever bring it back in your life? Oh, boys and girls, young people, remember this. We do not sin cheaply. Our sin will find us out. Asaph says, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. What do we read of that woman, of that widow of Zarephath, that she said to the servant of the Lord, art thou come to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? This is what the Lord is bringing over to his own children, that there may be a despondency of all self-help. Luther, oh, did you ever read how that the Lord worked in his life, boys and girls, young people? Oh, then he had so much to confess. Why? Oh, the Lord brought back everything. And when one was done, then there was always something else. He was never finished. Oh, if the Lord could look over just a little bit. Oh, if the Lord could pass by some sin. Oh, maybe then there would be hope. Oh, if the Lord could be a little bit biased toward us. If the Lord could be just, well, could be one of our friends. Oh, maybe then there would be a little hope. If the Lord would be pleased with some sacrifice. Oh, maybe then there would be a little hope. If that judge, oh, if he would be persuaded to be a little bit lenient. But it is impossible. Because that judge is so righteous and so just. Our father said, will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? By no means. And therefore there is a people that do not dare to stand before their judge. Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress. Then we can read that he could not die and he did not dare to stand before God in judgment. Do we know what that is? And yet there is a people who would not have God to be unrighteous so that they could be saved. Why? Because of that love that is planted in their heart. For the Lord Jesus, for God Himself. Congregation, we don't ask if you want to go lost. No, no one wants to go lost. The devil said, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. Would you now have God to set aside His righteousness and His justice so that you may enter in. Would you have the Lord to dishonor His own name for the sake of your salvation? Or is there greater love to Him? Moses said, "What wilt thou do unto thy great name? Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book." No, by nature we do not come there. But there is congregation, a people who understand this. And that people who are given to love that truth and that justice of God, even if it has to be against themselves, that people will be protected and they will be comforted by that same justice of God. What the Lord Jesus has endured upon this world, He has endured for the sake of His church. And from their own side, oh, that people deserve to be cast away, because they come under that righteous and just sentence of the Lord. But there is also a people that may have a hope for that day that they have to appear in that court of God Almighty. And what is that hope? That is a hope of the promise of that mediator who has promised them that He Himself will stand in the breaches. And then the people, and then they are so glad to think of the truth and of the justice of God, His own faithfulness. Hath He said it? And shall He not do it? Hath He spoken and shall He not make it good? Or in themselves they stand so guilty in that court of God. But clothed in that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are without spot and without wrinkle. It is a bride that must say, "I am black but comely." John says, "To her was granted that she may be clothed in fine linen, clean and white, for that fine linen that is the righteousness of the saints." Oh, what a comfort then. What a comfort that that just court becomes unto that people. Shall not the Lord of all the earth do right? Oh, is He going to cast away then those for whom that price has been completely paid by that precious blood of the Lamb? Or is that righteous judge going to punish sin two times? Is He going to punish it in His only begotten Son? And is He going to punish it for a second time in His church? Oh, who can know what it was for that blessed Lord Jesus to stand in that wicked court? And to be smitten for speaking only that thing which was right. But it was a price. It was a price paid for a people who can speak nothing right. And He has taken it upon Himself that He may stand for their defense, who have spoken nothing but wrong in their life. The Lord Jesus says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man, that the man should give his life for his friends." John says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Oh, but congregation, how shall that be? To stand before that judge without a surety. Oh, then we can be sure that the judgment of that judge is going to be so, so just. There is not going to be one sin that is overlooked in our life. not in our thoughts, not in our words, not in our deeds. And for every single one of those sins, then there is an eternal, eternal punishment due unto us. Oh, will you think upon it? Will you meditate on it? Will you not let it out of your thoughts for one day in the time to come? A summoned man before a court in this world. What is he doing? Is he spending his time in the entertainments of this world? A summoned man? One that has to come before his judge? What is he doing? Is he not rather seeking that he may have one to stand with him in that court? Congregation, how dead. How dead we are by nature. And how closed are our eyes that we soon have to stand before our great judge. Solomon says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. O congregation, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Is there no surety that may stand for us before that great day? Oh, why is it? Why is it he has no form? Why is it he has no comeliness in our eyes? Is that not because that we will not acknowledge our iniquity? What does the Lord say? He says, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast sinned against me, and that thou hast transgressed, and that thou hast scattered thy ways under every green tree, and that thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord thy God. Congregation, are there those that say my sin is too great, that I can never be forgiven? Can you see no one? Can you see no one but your judge? Oh, what sinner has been turned away by this mediator? Oh, did he not himself say, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, is there not place by him for the most black, for the most vile, even for publicans and for sinners? Did he not himself stand in that evil, in that wicked place for such people, to pay the price and to earn an eternal righteousness? Does he not therefore say, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And in that great judgment, then that accuser of the brethren, he will be cast out, which accused them day and night before God. And so that sinner, even the chiefest of the sinners, they are going to stand in that just court, in that just judgment of God. And they are going to be justified on the basis of that suffering and death of the blessed Son of God. They are going to be brought, washed and cleansed into that blessed favor of the Father forever and forever to magnify and to glorify his name. Oh, will we be among them? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou who did subject thyself to such wickedness and corruption here below, that thou mayest save thy people, that thou may bring in thy church, and that thou may deliver them from all corruption and from all evil. O, give us to glorify thy name. O, it shall be, Lord, when we may experience it for ourselves. Show it to us, Lord. Forgive our sins. Grant us a true concern. Draw our hearts. Keep us from going our own ways. And stand for us before the face of that judge, that angry judge. Wilt thou be with us further in this day? Give us to keep thy day holy. Bring us with desire in thy house again in this afternoon hour. Be among us as one that doth serve for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 69. We'll sing stanzas 1, 5, 6, and 7. 1, 5, 6, and 7. Be thou my judge, O righteous Lord. Try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, nor from thy ways depart. I believe the collection is for the school. Collection is for the school. Psalter number 69, stanzas 1, 5, 6, and 7. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.